From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
VOI listener, wherever you are, how are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. This is Voice of Indonesia with the news, first the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo says ASEAN and European Union must contribute to an inclusive economic recovery. In 15 years, the World Bank predicts that the Indonesian economy will grow 5.2% in 2022. I'm Rahmawati, now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo emphasized the partnership between the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, and the European Union must be able to contribute to an inclusive economic growth, one of which is through facilitating trade and investment. President Joko Widodo said in a virtual press briefing on Thursday at the ASEAN-European Union 45th Commemoration Summit in Brussels, Belgium, specifically criticized the European Union's proposed deforestation regulation because it was seen as hampering trade. The president emphasized Indonesia will continue to develop downstream industries to encourage more inclusive development. The World Bank, through the latest edition of the Indonesia Economic Prospects Report, predicts that the Indonesian economy will grow by 5.2% in 2022, as the economy reopens after COVID-19 and commodity prices increase. Indonesia's economic growth is also expected to be maintained at an average rate of 4.9% over the medium term, namely 2023 to 2025. The World Bank projects that Indonesia's inflation will reach its peak in 2023, namely at the level of 4.5%. Next, we have Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Economy Affairs Airlangga Hartarto, who stated Indonesia's strong economic growth in 2022 could help it to be better positioned to face a potential global recession in 2023. The minister stated while opening an event titled Momentum for Economic and Political Consolidation in Jakarta on Thursday, the increase in people's mobility is the main determinant for driving Indonesia's economic activity. According to the minister, it is also supported by continued improvement in domestic demand as reflected in increased consumption and high export sector. The last national news comes from the plan to increase the entry ticket fare for Komodo National Park by 3.75 million rupiah that will be implemented effective January 1, 2023, was officially cancelled. Indonesian Tourism and Creative Economy Minister Sandiaga Uno stated. Earlier in July, the provincial government of East Nusa Tenggara announced the increase in the entrance fee for Komodo National Park. This plan triggered protests from tourism operators in the region, and they went on strike as a form of protest against this policy until the East Nusa Tenggara provincial government postponed increasing the tariffs until 2023. In addition, UNO observed the need to maintain the aspects of education, research, and sustainability to maintain the population of Komodo dragons in the area. Now we move to the international news. European Union leaders wrap up their last summit of 2022 with an agreement to provide 18 billion euros in financing to Ukraine next year and slap more sanctions on Russia as the bloc prepared to cap gas prices and prop up its industry. Poland withdrew last-minute objections to a global minimum corporate tax, unblocking a whole package of linked agreements that includes the loan to Ukraine invaded by Russia almost 10 months ago. European Union leaders also agreed a ninth package of sanctions against Russia for waging the war against Ukraine, according to diplomats. The world's environment ministers began the final phase of crunch talks at a UN summit in Montreal on Thursday aimed at sealing a historic peace pact with nature. New international funding commitments from some wealthy donor countries could help lift the mood after negotiations appeared to be in trouble, though significant work is still needed to drag the deal across the finish line. At stake is the future of the planet and whether humanity can roll back habitat destruction, pollution, and the climate change. The last news comes from two people have died and 51 are still missing after a landslide hit a campsite with 100 people near the city of Batangkali in Malaysia, the Fire and Rescue Department of the state of Selangor said on Friday. The department said, as quoted by The Star, search and rescue efforts are still ongoing by the Fire and Rescue Department, aided by other agencies including the police, Civil Defense Force, Health Department and the Special Malaysia Disaster Assistance and Rescue Team. The department said it managed to save 23 people from under the rubble, with 3 of them having been injured. A total of 73 people were hit by the landslide. Well, listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Today's commentary is on Iran expelled from UN Commission on Status of Women. United Nations officially revokes Iran's membership of the UN Commission on the Status of Women. The decision was taken in a voting meeting related to the resolution submitted by the United States on Wednesday, December the 14th. In that vote, 29 countries voted in favor of the resolution to remove Iran from the UN Commission on the Status of Women for the remainder of its 2022-2026 term. There were 8 countries voting against the resolution, 16 countries abstained. This results only applies to the remaining term of Iran's membership in the UN Commission on the Status of Women today, namely from 2022 to 2026. The resolution, as quoted by France 24 on Thursday, December the 15th, states the Iranian leadership continues to undermine and further suppress the human rights of women and girls. This includes the right to freedom of expression and opinion and often involves the use of excessive force. The Iranian government is said to have pursued policies that flagrantly contradict the human rights of women and girls. Meanwhile, the United States Ambassador to the United Nations, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, after the vote said, removing Iran from the UN Commission on the Status of Women is a very important matter for Iranian women. According to her, the decision sends a message to Iranian women that the international community supports them. Iran said it was disappointed with the decision. Iranian Ambassador and Permanent Representative to the United Nations, Amir Said Irvani, as quoted from CNN.com on December 15, said that the resolution to remove Iran from the UN Commission was baseless or illegal. Iran's disappointment is understandable because even if the revocation of membership is valid for only a few years, the Iranian side will suffer losses because of it. At the very least, over the next few years, Iran will lose financial support. So far, the implementation of policies related to gender and women's empowerment has received financial support from the United Nations Commission on the Status of Women. Iran has also lost the opportunity to cooperate with various government agencies in addressing issues of gender status. However, if one looks closely, in the end, it is the Iranian women who suffers the most. With the expulsion of Iran from the United Nations Commission, all efforts for gender equality to women's empowerment will become increasingly difficult over the next few years. It is hoped that the Iranian government will not dissolve in disappointment and will show more respect on the human rights of women and girls, including the right to freedom of expression and opinion, to avoid other international sanctions. That was commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
I'll start today's history with December 16, 1969, when the death of activist Soe Hok Gee occurred. Soe Hok Gee is an Indonesian Chinese activist who strongly opposed the dictatorships of President Suharto and Sukarno. He was born in Jakarta on December 17, 1942. The University of Indonesia Faculty of Letters students died while climbing Mount Semeru in East Java on December 16, 1969, or at the age of 26. He died with his friends Idan Lubis. Soe Hok Gee, in his diary, which was later published in a book, indeed aspired to conquer the peaks of Semeru or Mahameru. When his goal was achieved, he actually died there. Let's move it on to December 16, 1971, when the end of the Indo-Pakistan War, Bangladesh becomes independent. On December 16, 1971, the armed conflict between West Pakistan, East Pakistan, now Bangladesh, and India ended. This war lasted for approximately 10 months, from March 26 to December 16, 1971, and the war ended. Therefore, Bangladesh, which was previously part of Pakistan's territory, officially became an independent country. After the war, it was not an easy matter for Bangladesh to be recognized as a whole country. They need international recognition because few countries recognize Bangladesh. I learned today in history with December 16, 1989, when the Romanian Revolution occurred. The Romanian Revolution was the largest protest as well as riots that took place for a week starting December 16, 1989. Protests and riots were meant to overthrow the communist regime of Nicolae Ceaușescu. Romania was the only member country of the Eastern Bloc that insisted on overthrowing its communist regime by force and executing its leaders. The total death toll in the Romanian Revolution is more than 1 million who died during the protests that led to the downfall of Nicolae Ceaușescu.
Listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Rating agency Fitch maintained again sovereign credit rating Indonesia at the BBB or investment grade with a stable outlook on Wednesday. This decision takes into account Indonesia's good medium-term economic growth prospects and the ratio of government debt to gross domestic products GDP, which is low. Responding to Fitch's decision, Wan Han. Governor of Bank Indonesia Peri Warjio in his official statement on Wednesday stated that the affirmation of Indonesia's rating at the BBB with a stable outlook shows international stakeholder strong confidence in macroeconomic stability and Indonesia's medium-term economic prospects. On the other hand, Fitch views that there are still a number of challenges that need to be responded, namely government revenues that are still low, and there are also several structural indicators, such as governance indicators, which are relatively lower than other countries at the same rating. In a report released on Thursday, Fitch assessed that Indonesia's economic recovery will continue and is expected to grow 5.2% in 2022. Meanwhile, Indonesia's economic growth in 2023 is expected to slow down to 4.8%. In the medium term, Fitch estimates that Indonesia's economic growth will reach 5.6% in 2024. This growth is supported by the positive impact of the implementation of the job creation law on increased investment as well as commitments to continue infrastructure development, including the construction of Nusantara Capital, IKN, in East Kalimantan. On the external side, after recording the current account surplus in the last 2 years, Fitch estimates that Indonesia's current account will record a deficit of 0.8% of GDP in 2023. It is estimated that gradual foreign investment will continue to increase so that it is expected to be able to encourage export in the manufacturing sector and the continuation of downstream activity. In regard to the price development, the implementation of the tight monetary policy is expected to reduce inflation, so it reaches a target range of 2% to 4% by the end of 2023. Fitch views the government will return the fiscal deficit to below the upper limit of 3% of GDP in 2023. The fiscal deficit shows a continued lowering from 4.6% of GDP in 2021 to 3.4% of GDP in 2022 and 2.9% of GDP in 2023. This has made Indonesia one of the first countries in the Asia-Pacific region to successfully return the fiscal deficit to pre-pandemic level.
Apa yang terjadi semalam? Aku tak mampu untuk lupakan kamu. Membuat diri ini du-adu di mabuk kepayang.
Cantik, kau cantik tiada dua. Menarik, buatku terhipnotis kamu. Membuat raga ini du-adu dulu hati ini.
Kau memang menarik semua untuk tertuju padamu seorang.
Side, ku jatuh hati, make me feel sounds like berhati-hati. Wanna make it right to get your heart, want to get your right. Hiba masa, hey girl, aku inginkan kamu. Hey girl, kau di dalam panganku. Hey girl, aku inginkan kamu. Hey girl, let me sing this song for you. Pandang pertama kau curi mataku, kedua kau kunci hatiku. Pandang-pandangan kamu dengan diriku, lugu, lucu, lulu, kepada
kau beriku lucu.
You're still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Some time ago, dozens of adult women gathered at the Baileo traditional house to prepare for Cuci Negeri Soya, a hereditary tradition from the Soya Kingdom, which is used to be one of the major kingdoms in Ambon. Cuci Negeri Soya is held every year in the second week of December. Coupled with other traditional events, including Pembersihan Negeri, climbing to Mount Sirimau, traditional ceremony of Cuci Negeri, Cuci Air or Wai Werhalau and Uniwei, and entering Gandong Cloth. Cuci Negeri ceremony is a tradition to cleanse the nation and at the same time purify oneself from feeling of enmity, envy, suspicions. So at the Cuci Negeri event, Upula Tu Soya, or the traditional elders or traditional figures, also ask the people of Negeri Soya to cleanse their hearts in developing the country. Cuci Negeri Soya has been appointed as an intangible cultural heritage since 20 October 2015 with the Minister of Education and Culture of Indonesia. Recognition of this tradition was reaffirmed after the Ministry of Education and Culture, Research and Technology of Indonesia on December 9, then the 2022 Anugerah Kebudayaan Indonesia or Indonesian Culture Award awarded to Negeri Soya for preserving the Cuci Negeri tradition. Cuci Negeri Soya is marked by two men carrying tahuri percussion, namely a wind instrument made of shells, going around the four customary points to convey taboos or the call of the king of Soya. After the musical instrument made of shells was blown, they inform the residents to the Cuci Negeri Soya tradition will take place for the next 5 days. The series of traditions begins with Pembersihan Negeri for 2 days. Starting from young people, adults, to elderly, they are helping to clean up their surroundings, especially in the area around the church to the boulder, cemeteries and Baileo traditional houses. Apart from that, a number of other women were also busy in the kitchen cooking for types of traditional foods, namely, kue porcis is made from a mixture of palm tree juice, kue bolu bubengka is made from a mixture of brown sugars and walnuts, kue wajik is made from sticky rice and sugar, and nasi pulut bambu bakar. The peak of the Cuci Negeri tradition takes place on Friday afternoon, beginning with a group of adult men from the Soa Pera clan climbing to the top of Mount Sirimau the night before. They have to fast during the journey, with the accompaniment of Tifan music instruments, gongs and tahuri. The group was led by a traditional head of Soa, and at the top of Mount Sirimau, they cleaned jars left by their ancestors while saying prayers and telling stories about the history of Negeri Soya. Soa is a genealogical territorial association that exists in the Negeri, consisting of several houses. On Friday afternoon, they went down the mountain to pick up the King Soya and together headed to Baileo Samasuru. They walked with Tifa's accompaniment and the person at the front carried the red soil flag, typical of Soya, a red, white, and flag. In Baileo, all the residents listened to the king's orders and messages, sermons from the priest, explanation about Gandong cloth by the oldest head of Soa. Gandong cloth is a long white cloth which is a symbol of brotherhood. Usually it is worn during cultural processions in traditional lands in Maluku. It's followed by the reading of Kapata by the traditional head of Soa, which begins with blowing the tahuri. Kapata is a prayer and a request that the Grisoya and its residents will be given God's protection and kept away from disease. After that, the original Soya clan group or Soa Pera and the clans that came after Soa Erang clean themselves or wash in the water at the different water sources. Soa Pera in Wai Wirhalo water, while Soa Erang in Unuwe water. The two groups walk from the water washing location bounded by 50 meters long white gandong cloth shaped like the letter U. After that, the two groups met at the location not far from the dining table to unite themselves. In that place, the gandong cloth was twirled three times around the united group. The gandong cloth, which is met together, is a symbol of the two groups taking an oath to become the Negeri Soya. This is the peak of the Cuci Negeri Soya tradition.
Di tempat ini mana
Thank you for still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany.
College students from Institute Technology 10 November, ITS, innovate to tackle environmental problems. Due to the high household waste in Indonesia, three ITS college students who are members of the Folios team have innovated an application called Foray, Food Waste Recycle, which aims to optimize household waste processing in Indonesia. According to one of the team members, Nailah Fiorenza Fidriah, this innovation is expected to enhance collaboration among the government, the private sector, and the community. So far, waste processing has only been limited to the reduce and reuse stage. The same thing was also said by another Folios team member, Muhammad Sharif Asham, who revealed that this innovation did not change the existing system. The innovation designed by the Folios team is aimed at optimizing the working principles of the existing system, starting from the user's household waste, which is carried by the courier. The household waste will be brought to the nearest disposal or TPS. Then it is carried again to the last disposal or TPA. In the existing system, the waste will only be left in the TPA. However, in this innovation made by the Folios team, the waste in the TPA will be processed again by the government or the private sector. Sharif also explained that processing will produce products in the form of compost and animal feed. With the circular economy concept, the products that have been produced will be sold in e-commerce or distributed to related industries. The profit generated by the sale will be returned to the users. The Innovation Internal System Management Limbah Sisa Makanan Rumah Tangga Kota Cerdas has succeeded in bringing the ITS Folios team to win a bronze medal at the Gymnastic 15 event at Brawijaya University in Malang, East Java, recently.
Eyes to eyes, cheek to cheek, lips to lips.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voynews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's Music Corner, I'm going to present a regional song from Central Java entitled Banyu Kali. The song narrates a woman's feelings who has loved a man for a long time, but she cannot express her feeling and love to the man. Here is Dini Aditama with the regional song from Central Java entitled Banyu Kali.
Yeah.
Voice of Indonesia.
Semalam aku tak mampu tuk lupakan kamu, membuat diri ini duadu di mabuk kepayang.
Malu, karena takut padamu. menghampiriku. Berangan-angan kamu tempat duduk sampingku. Pegang erat dan tak akan ku melepasmu. Hanya ada dalam hatiku. Kunci hatiku, pandang-pandangan kamu dengan diriku, lugu, lucu, lulu kepada
kau begitu lucu, tersipu malu.
Alright, listener, now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter, @VOIIndonesia, Instagram, @voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel, VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.